happy Tuesday, June 25th, 2024. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning into Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. As you can see from the title of the show, the Supreme Court is set to rule on 10 different cases before the end of the month. When their session closes, we're going to go over all of them, what they mean. Some of them are a lot more important than others, but anytime the Supreme Court makes a ruling, particularly in our polarized time, it makes big news. It makes big, big news. Also, we're going to be talking about Julian Assange, who has been freed after he took a plea deal with the Biden administration. He is now out of prison. Julian Assange, of course, the founder of WikiLeaks. He's basically been a political prisoner for more than a decade for being a journalist. For being a journalist. It is quite shameful what America and so many other countries did to this man for publishing what all turned out to be true. Also, CNN has decided that they are going to put the kibosh on streamers streaming the CNN debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Of course, they can't do that. That's against the law. It goes underneath fair use doctrine. But they have so far threatened at least two shows that I watch. I can't imagine how many others they may have threatened. We're going to get into that as we get going. Also, Donald Trump continuing to pick up ground in certain polls with certain people as he is set to speak in front of a huge crowd that Republicans tend not to get invited to. And it looks like the Biden administration has officially written off a state that Democrats tried to say was a swing state. Tried to say it. Democrats are now pulling the plug on it. Before we get to all that, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. Let's pop this live chat up on the screen. How's everybody doing today? Also, if you're in New York, we don't really have primaries technically, but today is primary day in New York. It is also primary day in Colorado. If you're in Colorado, make sure you get out and vote for Lauren Boebert. We need a fighter like her to remain in the House of Representatives. There are some primaries going on across the state of New York. So if you're one of them, just go and vote anyway. Go and vote anyway, just in case. Just in case. What's going on, everybody? Somebody says it's freezing. Is it freezing? Doesn't look like it on my end. Doesn't look like it on my end. Jay Lee, how are you? Dina, how are you? R. Ray, what's going on? Carol A, hello, hello. R. Star, what's happening? How's everybody doing today? Beautiful day. Beautiful day today. Out here in the Northeast. Absolutely phenomenal. I'll tell you who it is a better day for. Who it is a much better day for. And that would be Julian Assange, who is now free and out of prison. Out of a man-made prison. He hid in the Ecuadorian embassy for like 8 years because they wouldn't extradite him on some nonsense charges. But let's get into it. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange struck a deal on Monday with the Biden administration, pleading guilty to a felony charge related to his alleged role in releasing classified U.S. materials. According to multiple reports, the 52-year-old reportedly agreed to a single criminal count of violating the U.S. espionage law by, quote, conspiring to obtain and disclose classified U.S. national defense documents, end quote. According to the filed court documents in the U.S. District Court of the North Marion Islands, Reuters reported, Assange was seen leaving the Belmarsh maximum security prison in the United Kingdom, where he has spent nearly 5 years being held up while awaiting extradition to the United States. Julian Assange is free, WikiLeaks put on Twitter. He left Belmarsh Maximum Security Prison on the morning of June 24th after having spent 1,901 days there. He was granted bail by the High Court of London and was released at Stansted Airport during the afternoon, where he boarded a plane and departed the UK. This is the result of a global campaign that spanned grassroots organizations, press freedom campaigners, legislators, and leaders from across the political spectrum, all the way to the United Nations, the Post continues. This created the space for a long period of negotiation with the U.S. Department of Justice, leading to a deal that has not yet been formally finalized. We will provide you the information as soon as possible. Video footage then came out of the WikiLeaks founder boarding a jet in England, where he will return to his native country of Australia. So for those of you who don't know who Julian Assange is, I know a lot of people get him mixed up with Edward Snowden. What did he do? Why has he been a global sensation going on 10, 15 years now? Well, because Julian Assange had been pursued by the U.S. government for allegedly obtaining and publishing thousands of classified military records given to him by the former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning, which the U.S. argued had potentially endangered confidential sources within the Middle East, according to CNN. While the FBI and the Department of Justice oppose any deal with the WikiLeaks founder that did not include a felony charge, Biden recently alluded to a deal which was encouraged by the Australian government. Last month, as Assange was still waiting in Belmarsh prison, a UK court ruled that he had the right to appeal against his extradition to the United States. In order for the deal to go through, the agreement still must be approved by a federal judge. So Julian Assange published multiple thousands of documents that were allegedly stolen by Chelsea Manning, given to Julian Assange about what was going on with the U.S. operations in the Middle East, published them on WikiLeaks, and he was charged under the Espionage Act, which is wild to me, for a great many number of reasons, most notably because what he published turned out to be true. And if you look throughout the political and media landscape, this is one of those cases that is a real dividing line for me on how I feel about certain people. You have all the people we like out there chanting Free Julian Assange, the majority of the Freedom Caucus, the anti-war mongers in the Republican Party. And then you've got the Mike Pompeos and the Lindsey Grahams and the Mike Pences out there calling him a traitor, saying he ought to be executed. They didn't come right out and say that, but that's what you do to traitors. You execute them for being a reporter. So, once again, for all the people who like to sit on their moral high horse and talk about how bad other countries are when they lock up journalists, well, we did that to Julian Assange. It's time we started holding ourselves to the same standard that we hold so many around the world to. Julian Assange didn't steal anything. He was given documents and he published them. So I just want to say to the Assange family, I've spoken to his wife in Twitter Spaces, Stella. She's a very nice woman. Julian, as somebody who reports the news and doesn't have balls nearly as big as you do, thank you for standing up for the journalist community out there. Thank you for reporting the hard stuff. I don't know if I would have had the courage to publish stuff like that. I don't know if I would have. Lost 15 years of his life. He's got kids he's never seen. He is now free. Now, what is freedom in this sense? He's going to be looking over his shoulder every day for the rest of his life. CIA, NSA, FBI. Would it be out of the realm of possibility for any one of those organizations to take out someone somewhere around the globe? I don't think so. What sort of freedom will he have? Because believe me, someone like Mike Pompeo wants this guy away. Wants this guy to go away. He can absolutely make him go away. So I just want to say, Julian, welcome back to freedom. Welcome back to freedom. I hope you are laying on a beach in Australia right now, having a beer, doing whatever the hell it is Australians do. And welcome back to the world. We got a lot to fill you in on, my friend. We got a lot to fill you in on. Before we keep moving and grooving here, guys, hit the thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. We're going to be talking about CNN next. Let's see. Let's pop this one. What are we at so far? What are we at? Boom, boom, boom. How's everybody doing today? Tommy Girl, how are you? Peg McGroin, how are you? Bad Moon, what's happening? What is happening? Steelers, how is it going? Darlene, hello, hello. Once again, guys, hit the thumbs up button. Please share this video out all over the place. If you are new to the channel, make sure you're hitting that follow button as we're moving and grooving here. Before we get to that, Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD for up to 80% off everything on the website. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. So obviously, we are in presidential debate week, 2 days away from seeing whether or not Joe Biden can stand on his feet for 90 minutes, how many times he says words like Truman on Shabbat of Pressure, like Batacalf Care. Will he crap himself? Who really knows? Will Donald Trump stick to the policy? Will he hit the facts? Because that's all he's got to do. Hit those facts. You got him on your side, President Trump. Now, obviously the debate is taking place on CNN. Now, CNN, nobody watches anymore. Nobody watches anymore. The other day, they had 42,000 people in the key demographic watching in prime time. That is abysmal numbers. That is abysmal numbers. That is like the death blow to a network. If you can't sell ads, if you can't pull in viewers from 24 to 51, I think it is, the key demo, 42,000 people watching. That is nothing. That is, like, pathetic. More people are watching regular TV during the Super Bowl than watch CNN during primetime. And because of that, CNN has now begun to reach out to multiple streamers, be them YouTubers, be them people on Rumble, letting them know that they are not allowed to stream the CNN debate, which I want to make it very clear, they aren't allowed to tell us that. They're not allowed to tell us that. There's something called the fair use doctrine. Basically, you can't just run it like on its own or you'll get hit with a copyright infringement, but you can commentate above a live video. You can fact check in real time. You see, because this is in the public good for everyone to see it, it's a presidential debate, CNN actually can have the exclusive rights to it because some people don't get CNN. Some people have ditched cable altogether, but they want to watch the presidential debate, and it's in the public interest. So CNN has decided to threaten at least two shows that I watch, Breaking Points and Timcast IRL, threaten them with lawsuits if they provide commentary over this debate. On Monday night's episode of TimCast, host Tim Pool revealed that CNN, which is hosting the first presidential debate of the general election season on Thursday, has warned any YouTube channel that intend to stream live the debate while providing commentary for the viewers that this would not be permitted under copyright. The debate will be hosted by Jake Tapper. Quote, confirming that we are offering digital platforms the ability to stream the debate only via CNN's YouTube, said the CNN spokesperson to Poole in a message reviewed by the Postmillennial. Quote, we are not granting digital entities the right to stream the debate on their own YouTube channel. Here was Tim Pool announcing this last night.
I received a message from YouTube last week asking to hop on a phone call to discuss the RNC and the presidential cycle. And I said, sure. I briefly spoke with some individuals at YouTube earlier today who made it clear that CNN reached out and is expressing concern. I don't know the full extent, but making it known that YouTube better contact their news programs over the CNN debate. Now, of course, like all presidential debates, which is the epitome of civic responsibility, it is of civic participation, we will provide live commentary and fact checking on this presidential debate, as we have done for every other, so long as this show has been around. In a show of good faith, YouTube asked me to reach out to CNN to see if there was anything they would be looking for in this regard, because apparently they are asking other networks who are doing the exact same thing to abide by certain restrictions. And I said, OK, I'll reach out. To which the immediate response was something along the lines of confirming we will not allow anyone on YouTube to use this outside of, you know, CNN granting certain platforms, basically saying you can't do this. And my response immediately was commentary on presidential debates is the epitome of fair use. Hope that helps. This Thursday will be particularly interesting. I think that news is big. I can't really put that succinctly in 80 characters for a YouTube headline, but this is massive that CNN is pulling this move. We saw something similar that Fox News had done. Fox had filed several takedowns on various shows, including ours, but they abandoned their copyright claims because this is unquestionably fair use. We have two people running for the president of this country, one of them the current president, and we're going to fact check and we're going to comment and we are going to call them out in real time. If we can't do that, if no one else can, then that's severely limiting civic participation. And it's allowing a biased network that in the past has likened Trump to Hitler to control who can and cannot fact check this man. And as we know, with special rules for this debate, they are seeking to control that narrative. And I believe that is exactly why they reached out to YouTube and why YouTube reached out to me, because they don't want anyone to break their narrative. That's the dirty game they're playing. It's going to be a fun Thursday. But
it's going to be a fun Thursday. Now, there's two ways to look at this. Obviously, CNN wants you to watch their network so that they can sell ad space. Naturally, that's how TV works. But as you heard Tim say there, there is a bit more of a nefarious angle to this. We know that CNN is biased. We know that Jake Tapper has likened President Trump to Hitler. If this is able to be streamed on YouTube or on Rumble or on Twitter or on any of the other platforms, people like us are going to be able to get the clips out to the world before the networks can either change it, mess with the camera angle, mute somebody, alter the sound. It gives them complete narrative control over what happens. Where you and I have a right to see whether or not Donald Trump goes off the deep end or Joe Biden craps his pants if he just suddenly falls down, if his teeth pop out of his mouth. These are all things you and I have the right to see. But CNN wants to control that narrative. And yes, I have no doubt that a lot of it also is they want you to watch their network. Look, you know, if you, this is not exclusive to presidential debates. I brought up the Super Bowl before. If Fox is running the Super Bowl and you put it on your YouTube channel, they're going to take it down. They paid a lot of money to get that. You know, it's not, that's not uncommon. What is uncommon is that because this is information necessary to the public, it falls under the fair use doctrine. I think we're going to do something with it. I'm not sure, so stay tuned for that. Here on LFA TV. Everybody's going to be streaming this thing everywhere. This way we can fact check Joe Biden's lies in real time. You see, what the mainstream media has a very difficult time grasping is that they are rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. What we're doing now, podcasting, Twitter spaces, interacting like this, this is the new media. And they're trying to hold on to their last handful of power. Because believe me, they know they're dying. The only people that still watch cable news, generally speaking, are over the age of 65. Mathematically, your audience is going to die. And people aren't going back to cable. More people are cutting the cords. And even the ones that do watch cable news, whether it's Fox or, look, Fox still gets huge, huge viewership. CNN doesn't. I think when they did that Trump town hall with Caitlin Collins a while back, it was like their most watched program in like 3 years. So they know they're going to get the ratings for this. A guy like Tim Pool, he's going to stream his show out, fact-checking Joe Biden in real time, giving commentary on it to 350,000 people. I'm sure Joe Rogan will do this. Everybody's going to do it. Everybody's going to do it. And CNN does not want you to hear in real time what is going to happen with Joe Biden. That's how terrified they are. And as I said, I absolutely think there is a part of this that they want you to watch their network. I'll give it 80% control the narrative, 20% they want the ratings. So they can sell ad space to Moderna or Pfizer or whichever other pharmaceutical company is going to sponsor this. Because you know it's going to be one of them. You know it's going to be one of them. This CNN debate is brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Purdue Pharma. Brought to you by Merck. Now, buy this Prozac because you're depressed. It's exactly what it's going to be. CNN is out there threatening YouTube channels. They wouldn't do that if they knew. They wouldn't do that if they thought that they had control of the narrative, if they had control over what was happening. They would just let it happen. 5 years ago, they wouldn't have done this. 10 years ago, they wouldn't have done it. Hell, they wouldn't have done it 4 years ago. They didn't do it 4 years ago. But so many people think this is going to go so poorly for Joe Biden that they can't let you see it live. So as I have said, I said it on Twitter. I said it pretty much everywhere, and I'll say it here too. If you have a YouTube channel or a Twitter or a Rumble page, man, run the debate just to stick it to these people. Because I don't know who the hell they think they are that CNN believes they have sole... that they have exclusivity to the first presidential debate in the most important election of our lifetime. I don't know where they get that sort of arrogance, but if I had that sort of arrogance, I'd probably take over the damn world. Guys, we're going to move on from this because I do want to get to the Supreme Court decisions. There's a bunch of them that I want to get to. They're all going to be coming down within the next like 5 or 6 days, so stay tuned for that. Before we get to that, guys, head on over to OFPFarms.com. That's OFPFarms.com. Guys, they are the premier goat farm here in America, and they make all phenomenal, all natural products. You can pick up your lotions and your salves and your balms and your soaps, all that good stuff. You can get your Goat Kisses Smack lip balm like I have. Maybe I've thrown out all the other ones because they're filled with nasty preservatives and all that crap. OFP Farms is all natural, baby, made here in America, and they are longtime sponsors of the show, longtime sponsors of the network. So please go and support OFP Farms. That's OFPFarms.com. That's OFPFarms.com. And use promo code LFA15 to get 15% off everything on your order, guys. We can't do this without our sponsors, so please go support them. That's OFPFarms.com. Use promo code LFA15 at checkout. That's promo code LFA15 at checkout. What is going on, everybody? Let me say hello while I get a sip. How's everybody doing today? Everybody doing good, guys. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. Hit the like button. Share the video out. Truth it out. Tweet it out. Put it on Facebook. No one will see it on Facebook. But if you're on, you know, if you got the Facebook, send it out there. Have a good day. Kevin sporting an awfully sexy shirt today. Thank you, Bad Moon. Thank you. I thought I'd go with the blue today. Just to show you all that I have more than one t-shirt. Alrighty, guys. Once again, hit the thumbs up button. Let's get rolling here. So, the Supreme Court is going to hear 10 cases, or they've heard 10 cases. They're going to give decisions on 10 cases over the course of the next 5 or 6 days. 6 of them are going to be huge, and we're going to go over each and every one of them because it's important you guys know what to expect when these sorts of decisions come out. The U.S. Supreme Court, this from the Epoch Times, is poised to release a number of significant rulings in the coming week, including ones relating to whether the former President Trump enjoys broad immunity for his activities as president, obstruction charges related to January 6th, the Capitol breach, social media laws, and the power of federal agencies. The High Court tends to release all of its decisions for a term by the end of June, and only several days remain in the month. The justices have yet to release 14 cases for the term, which started in October of 2023. Here are the ones we're going to be talking about. This one has to do with federal agency power. The Supreme Court will rule on a 40-year doctrine known as the Chevron Doctrine. The precedent dictates that courts should defer to the executive branch agency's expertise when it comes to interpreting laws when Congress's intent in passing the law is unclear. Now, let me explain to you what that means, because that's some complicated stuff. Under the 1994 doctrine, U.S. courts gave great leeway to agencies such as the EPA, the Securities and Exchange Commission, regarding the powers delegated to them by Congress under the law. Two small fishing companies have challenged this precedent, claiming that paying for a monitor on a herring boat required by the National Marine Fisheries Services amounted to an onerous regulation. As the case illustrates, the ruling will affect not only the EPA and the SEC, but a myriad of federal agencies. In oral arguments earlier this year, the justices appeared divided over a bid to further limit the regulatory power of federal agencies in a dispute involving a government-run program to monitor for overfishing of herring off the New England coast. So, this case has to do with all of those three-letter agencies. All the three-letter agencies, the EPA, the SEC, the FAA, the FCC, all of these different ones, which have broad powers underneath the executive branch. Some would say they have far too broad of powers. I would be one of those people. This is why, just as an example, we can't build anything in this country. Because in order to build something in this country, you need to go through like 80 regulations at the EPA to make sure that some beaver dam is not going to be impacted. This is why you can't build anything in San Francisco, build anything in New York. Because these federal agencies, and to me, to my mind, and I have long said this, to me, these three-letter agencies are the biggest hindrance to progress in America. These three-letter agencies are what I designate as the deep state. The 19-year employee at the FCC who doesn't really care that there's a new administration and is going to keep doing things the way they've always done them. The career bureaucrat at the EPA, who may or may not be a radical climate activist, but just wants to keep the ball moving. Now, in their defense, imagine your job. And every 4 years, you had to change everything you did because somebody new was in the White House. I could understand how that would be annoying. However, you took the job. We often talk about this in terms of Donald Trump, that many of the people working under him, many of the people working at the agencies, basically just undermine his every single move because he came in and he was an agent of change. But they didn't want to change. They wanted things to keep going exactly as they were. In this particular case, small boating companies don't think that they should have to have these very expensive monitors on their boats, which is regulated by the National Marine Fisheries Service. I would say that they're right. Now, that's a silly one, but this is one of the big ones. The Trump immunity case. Another case that will likely be ruled on this week involves former President Trump, who had argued that he should be declared immune for his activities after the 2020 election to deal with what he described as election fraud. Special counsel Jack Smith last year charged the former president with conspiracy to subvert the election, and the former president has appealed this case to the high court. During the arguments, the justices appeared skeptical of Trump's attorney's arguments that he should be fully immune from prosecution, but some of the justices seemed inclined to carve out some immunity for presidents. Several justices offered warnings that all future former presidents could be prosecuted by their successors if immunity was not upheld. The appeal has delayed the criminal case against former President Trump in Washington, D.C., related to January 6th and the Capitol breach, to which he has pleaded not guilty on those charges. Now, look. Take Donald Trump out of it. Any president, we as a population give them some kind of leeway when it comes to making decisions. Because if you're a president and you have to constantly think to yourself, well, what is this decision going to lead to 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Virtually every president since the invention of the missile could be charged if presidents do not have immunity. Because every president since the invention of the missile has technically committed a war crime. Because when you drop a missile somewhere, you're probably going to kill a civilian. That's a war crime. And I don't think we should be prosecuting former presidents for the things they did when they were in office. I think presidents have a little bit, they get a little bit more leeway. Why? Because they have the nation on their mind. And I'm not saying that they're above the law, that whole ridiculous argument that Donald Trump could kill his political opponent and get off for it. Obviously, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about their duties in their capacity as president of the United States. For example, Nixon, Watergate. He should have been charged because that was not in his official capacity as the president. Barack Obama, very famously, droned an American citizen in Yemen, Anwar al-Awlaki. No judge, no trial, no jury, no verdict. Boom, drone strike. Do I like the fact that he did that? No. However, I worry what comes next if presidents don't have immunity to act in their official capacities as the president. If the president of the United States goes out and robs a bank, that's a crime. But I don't need our presidents from now until the end of time looking over their shoulder with 40 different lawyers every time they have to make any decision based on anything to do with the country. That's just me. Some conservatives may disagree, but that's what we do here. We disagree sometimes. Let's move on to the next case. Social media contacts. Another major case the court will have to decide whether or not federal government officials should be broadly prohibited from communicating with social media companies, responding to a lawsuit by two states' attorneys general alleging that the federal government violated people's First Amendment rights by asking social media companies to take down content that it claimed was false or misleading. This is a big one. This is going to change the game. The attorneys general had some success in the lower court. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued a decision that blocked officials in the FBI, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and the Surgeon General's Office and the White House and other agencies from contacting social media firms. The Biden administration appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court's decision, sending it to the Supreme Court. The Circuit Court's decision is currently on hold while the High Court weighs the matter. Now, look, it would not be hard to get around this if they rule in favor of the people here, which I think they will. Two guys work at the FBI. One of them retires. Another one gets a job at Facebook, picks up the phone. They call each other. Man, you know, the loud majority Facebook page, man, they're putting out some false information. There would be a very easy way around that. However, it would at least be a sign that the government cannot coerce, cannot nudge, cannot scooch social media companies into censoring yours and mine speech. A number of the Supreme Court justices during arguments in March appeared skeptical of the government officials should be banned from contacting companies. Now, here's the one that Democrats will jump on. Abortion. Although the Supreme Court has already ruled on a challenge to the FDA administration approval of an abortion-related drug, the High Court is set to release an order on whether emergency rooms in Idaho can perform abortions on pregnant women during what is described as an emergency. Under the 2022 Idaho Defense of Life Act, abortion is banned under all circumstances unless it is necessary to protect to prevent the death of the mother. The Biden administration had challenged the mandate, saying it conflicts with federal law, the Emergency Medical Treatment, and the Labor Act, which mandates that emergency room doctors stabilize patients. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that abortion case not going to go the pro-life way. I just have a feeling it's not going to go the pro-life way. There's other social media issues abound as well. Laws in Texas and Florida that regulate bans on social media will also be decided during the Supreme Court's term. Those laws bar social media companies from taking down or demoting user content that expresses certain views, coming in the wake of allegations that social media companies were targeting conservatives for censorship and deplatforming. The justices expressed some reservations on February 26th about the Republican-backed law in the two states, but suggested that those mandates won't be blocked entirely. The justices expressed concern that the law could undermine the editorial discretion of the platforms in violation of free speech protections. But they also indicate that they might permit the laws to regulate certain non-expressive internet services, such as the provision of email or direct messaging. So, look, if any of you have been censored on any social media site, many of us on the right will decry my free speech. Unfortunately, social media companies have free speech of their own. And if they don't want you on it, it's their sandbox. Come over to Rumble. Come over to Elon's Twitter, where we can say anything we want. Go to Truth Social. We had Parler for a little bit. We don't got to talk about that. We shall see what happens with that one. One last case, the Supreme Court will rule on an obstruction statute that may affect the Department of Justice's prosecution of people who entered the Capitol on January 6th. This is the big one. One person who was charged, Joseph Fisher, filed a lawsuit that challenges statute, which makes it a crime if an individual corruptly obstructs, influences, or impedes an official proceeding. In April, A number of justices were skeptical of how the statute was being applied in Fisher's case. Attorney General Merrick Garland this month suggested in a congressional hearing that he would be prepared to drop cases for January 6th defendants who were charged under that statute. I think that one's going to go our way, and a lot of people are going to get out of jail for January 6th. And all I can say is thank God. Thank God they've been in there far too long as it is. Far too long as it is. So these are the cases that are going to be coming up in the coming days in the Supreme Court. Make sure you guys keep it locked in there. We will bring you all of the news as it happens when it, in terms of that. Guys, before we keep moving and grooving here, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Can we get to 300 rumbles by the end of the show? I think we could do it 17 minutes. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Share it out. Giddy up. Let's go. Guys, before we move on to the next story, head on over to LFATV.us. That's LFATV.us. That is your home base. That is your mothership, your landing pad, your batter's box for all things LFATV related. Guys, the shop still closed at the moment, but it will be opening soon. Until then, you guys can support the network by becoming a monthly donor. We can't do this without your help, guys. This is user-generated content. We don't have sponsors like Big Pharma that are keeping us on the air like CNN. And you know what? I'm happy about that. So whatever you guys can do, we appreciate it. Go to LFATV.us. That's LFATV.us. So let's keep on going here because there is a lot I want to get to. There's a lot I want to get to. Something big is happening in terms of unions in this country. Now, many times on this show, we have discussed how often the union leaders will be very pro-Democrat, but the union workers will be very pro-Republican. Well, in one case, it doesn't seem so much to be going that way, as the Teamsters president accepts Donald Trump's invitation to speak at the Republican convention. This is huge. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters president Sean O'Brien will speak at the Republican convention next month in Milwaukee. Former President Trump announced that O'Brien accepted his invitation. The post on social on Trump's Truth Social read, Sean O'Brien, the general president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, has accepted my invitation to speak at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Our great convention will unify Americans and demonstrate to the nation's working families that they come first. When I am back in the White House, the hardworking Teamsters and all working Americans will once again have a country they can afford to live in, be respected around the world. Sean, I look forward to seeing you represent the Teamsters in Milwaukee. We will make America great again. Now, why does this matter? I'm going to tell you why this matters. Because the International Brotherhood of Teamsters is the fourth largest union in the country, with more than 1.3 million active members. 1.3 million active members. A lot of those live in Detroit. A lot of them live in Pennsylvania. A lot of them live in Midwestern states. If you've ever been to a truck stop along 66 or a truck stop along 95, these are the people that keep this country moving. And if you're a truck driver and you're out there and you're watching this, I want to thank you because, quite frankly, you guys do not get enough credit, not only during the pandemic when everything else was shut down, but you're still delivering stuff here to New York, which I can't understand why. I want to make it very clear. There is no better job in America for a young man without a college degree than being a long-haul truck driver. You make great money. Look, it's a tough life. It's a tough life, no doubt. But you will make a great living out of it. You will make a grand. We need more of them. And we need more of them. This is not the first time that Donald Trump has made plays to large unions. Of course, we remember when he was speaking in Nevada a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about not taxing tips. Well, why does that matter? Because it turns out the Service Employees International Union, which has 40,000 members in Nevada alone, and 1.9 million members all across the country, is the second biggest union in the country. So as we've seen, Donald Trump continuing to rewrite the electoral map in a number of different ways. He's campaigning in Virginia. Republicans don't win Virginia. He's in the Bronx. He's in Philly. He's in Racine, Wisconsin. He's catering to union members. He's talking to the regular people out there. Who's Joe Biden talking to? No, let's be honest. He's talking to himself. Donald Trump is remaking this Republican Party in his image. And long before he ever became president, people referred to Donald Trump as the blue-collar billionaire. I know multiple people that have worked on job sites in New York City that said at any given time, Donald Trump would just walk right through on any of the buildings you were doing, any of the apartment complexes. He'd come, he'd shake hands with you, he'd talk to you. Billionaires don't do that stuff. But Donald Trump has an affinity towards the average person because he's seen them all working. New York will always be, look, people think New York, they think Wall Street, they think Broadway. If we saw anything when Trump stopped off at that bodega, the amount of city workers, the amount of labor union employees, the people who build things, the people who actually do productive work. Look, I talk into a camera for an hour a day, okay? I want to make it very clear. If you're an electrician, if you're a carpenter, if you're a plumber, if you're a tin knocker, a steam fitter, a boiler maker, you are way more important than me. Way more important than me. You're a mechanic, you're way more important. You're a long-haul truck driver, you are way more important than me. And Donald Trump is catering to these people, the people who have been left behind, the people whose wages do not keep up with the prices in the cities in which they work. Union electricians cannot afford, people who are New York City union electricians can't afford to live in New York City. And if you are building something in the place you live, you're going to take more pride in it. You're going to feel good about that. I got a buddy of mine that works in the trades, and he's worked in the trades his whole life. And there's a house, for those of you from Long Island, right along Deer Park Avenue. There's a giant house right off Deer Park Avenue. Every time we drive past it, he tells me, Kev, you know I laid the cement there? You know I did that brickwork? People want to be able to work where they live, so they can take pride in what they built, so they can show their children. But if you're a regular union worker, you can't afford to live in New York City. You probably can't afford to live in Queens or Brooklyn. Many of them live in Jersey. Many of them live upstate, well, the downstate, but above the Bronx. Donald Trump speaks to those people. Whether it's the bartenders at the casino, the union carpenter, who's just trying to make ends meet. Guy is 65 years old and wants to retire from being a long-haul truck driver so he can enjoy the last couple years of his life, but can't do it because inflation is out of control. While you have big tech billionaires trying to force him out of his job with self-driving trucks. I want to make it very clear. If there are ever self-driving trucks in this country, you will see an epidemic of lonely, drug-addicted, white guys all throughout the flyover states. Everywhere between the river. Because 1.3 million people, maybe not all of them, a million people will lose their job if that ever happened. And I hope that Donald Trump spoke to him about stopping these self-driving big rigs. Because while they would be more efficient, they would be. Let's just face facts. It's important that you have a person behind the wheel of that and it doesn't just go out of control because who the hell knows what could happen there. That's got bad news written all over it. That's got bad news written all over it. So not only is Donald Trump reaching out to the Teamsters, not only is he reaching out to the service workers, employees, the cops, the firemen, the sanitation workers, the people who have real jobs, people with dirt under their nails, the kinds of people who shower after work, not before work. the people who built this country. Donald Trump is now talking to them. And it's having an effect because there's a lot of people in this country. There's a lot of people in this country who work blue collar jobs and happen to be black. Happen to be black. And the numbers Donald Trump is getting with the black community, according to a new poll, is out of this world. Out of this world. Earth-shattering numbers. Before we get to that, guys, head on over to LoudMajorityUSA.com. That's LoudMajorityUSA.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. You guys can use promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on our website. That's promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. That is the best way to help out this show. Guys, I put a link in the comments and a link in the chat. If you would like to become a monthly donor over here at the Loud Majority, we really do appreciate the support. I've been in talks with the New York City Young Republicans over the last couple of days. Good friends of mine. I'm on their executive board. I'm on their board of advisors. About setting up voter registration drives in Brooklyn, in Queens, and in the Bronx, in Staten Island, and in Manhattan. And we can't do it without your support. Unfortunately, setting up tents and getting tables at many of these events are incredibly expensive. And I promise you, when Donald Trump wins the popular vote, it is going to be delivered through the five boroughs, through Brooklyn, through Queens, through Staten Island, through the Bronx, and through Manhattan. So anything you guys can give, become a monthly donor, $5, $10 a month, whatever you guys can do. I really, really do appreciate it. Just know it's all going right back into the movement. Every dollar I make from the show, from the t-shirts goes right back into the show. So I do appreciate all the support, guys. As always, go to LoudMajorityUSA.com. New poll finds Donald Trump support among black voters at 23%, nearly doubling from 2020. A CBS YouGov poll published this week shows former President Trump is making gains with black voters, with support at 23%, nearly double what he got in 2020. This general election CBS News poll has Donald Trump plus one. In the poll. That is disastrous for President Joe Biden. Exit polling in 2020 showed only about 12% of black voters support for Trump, which was still higher than 2016 when he was at 8%. At the same time, Donald Trump has been gaining support amongst black voters. Black support for President Joe Biden is significantly down. And why wouldn't it be? All he did was spend 40 years being one of the biggest racists in the Senate, and now he just spends time pandering to them. And they have to hear about how impressive it is that he picked a black woman as his vice president, despite the fact she's not African American. She's Indian and Jamaican. Neither one of those are part of Africa. Last time I checked. Exit polls in 2020 show 87% support for Joe Biden, according to CNN. However, most recent CBS News YouGov poll has Biden at 75% among the black voters. Politico magazine recently interviewed several black men in Milwaukee who are part of a pilot program for a voter advocacy group focused on increasing black male voting participation and found lackluster support for Joe Biden. If Joe Biden's at 75% in the black community, that is going to be a disaster. A disaster. I'm not talking about the major metros. I'm talking about the minor metros. Maybe not Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, but Harrisburg. Maybe not Atlanta, but Athens, Georgia. Maybe not Vegas, but Reno. Maybe not Detroit, but Lansing. That's an election. That's an election right there. And I can't wait to team up with the New York City Young Republicans to start going to places that Republicans tend not to go to. When we were registering voters in the Bronx, I talked to several voters, people who lived in the Bronx their whole lives, who straight up told me that they had never met a Republican in their lives. Ever, not never, not once. They thought they were alone in feeling what they felt. And I cannot wait to get out there and engage with people who have heard stories about Republicans but never actually met them. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Plus, when you go to black neighborhoods, you get the best food. You get the best. All the Dominican restaurants are always there. They're phenomenal. I can't wait. I'm so excited. We're going to be doing it all summer long. All summer long. Guys, we go. I'm running out of time today, but there is one story that I did want to make sure that I got to. Before we close out, hit the thumbs up button, share the video out. Also, guys, don't forget, this Sunday, rally, 10 a.m., Seaford train station here on Long Island. If you can make it out, it's going to be a great time. Rain or shine, it's going to be a good time. Then we're going to go to Restigio's in Patchogue, and we are going to eat and drink and dance the night away. Before we close, you know what? How much time do I have left? Oh, no. 59? No. All right, you know what? I'm going to save that story. I'm going to save that story because I do have a lot that I want to get into about it. About one state that the Biden administration has officially decided it is writing off. It has no chance of winning. Therefore, it is not going to put any resources into one state in particular. People think that this country is getting more left-wing. It is not. It is not. It is not getting more left-wing. I want to make that very very clear, guys. And I think this ought to be a sign of it. And it could severely hurt several House Democrats moving forward. Guys, I'm going to wrap up the show today. I want to thank everybody so, so much for tuning in. We will be back live tomorrow at 1 p.m. That's live tomorrow at 1 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned for Matter of Fact coming up next right here on this network. No Hazel Kitty Sunday. Sunday. Also, guys, once again, I put the donate button in the comments and in the chat. If you guys would care to do so, I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in. Ryan's coming up next. Until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.